And you might like to turn in your Bible to Ezekiel and chapter 14. And in our study of Jeremiah, as we're coming to the end of the 52 chapters, and as we've gone down the corridor of time and looked, and we've been seeking to put together chapters 50 and 51 of great length on Babylon. So, if you keep that in mind, we share together in all of this that it is to be understood, Romans 1, etc., that judgment begins with the Jew first, and then the Gentiles. Judgment always begins at the top. For the church even, 1 Peter, judgment begins at the house of God of the church. What is it going to be for the rest of the world? It starts always at the top. And so, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to judge Jerusalem and the temple city and the temple. And Israel is put aside as it is still today until the kingdom. And thus, Babylon or the Gentiles become prominent. And as we've been doing that, we remind ourselves that it's all man-centered. It's all about us humans. And thus, in order to build that, and so you see it again, maybe, Ezekiel chapter 14, as you remember, it's all about idolatry. And idolatry is the substitute by humans to substitute everything and anything in place of God, to take anything in place of God. Humans do that. And remember what we've been looking at. Nebuchadnezzar builds this 90-foot image of a man in the plain of Dura. And so, it's all man-centered. Man-centered. Humans. We what? We run the government, politics, and we run religion. All politics and all religion is from us humans. It's all man-centered. Not God-centered. It's man-centered. Now, so reminding ourselves, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3. The son of man, these men have set up their idols where? In their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. In other words, they think it, and then they do something to demonstrate what they're thinking. A philosophy, an idol, a Buddha, whatever you want. We think it, and then we produce it. We produce the thinking, and then we produce the doing. All man-centered. Now, verse 3 again. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Now, sliding over that whole context, going over to verse 7. And in verse 7, for every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart, always starts in the heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. So we share together without taking everything. Idols, where do idols come from? They come from us humans, as we just said. We create the whole ball of wax, and then we worship it and sacrifice and go to war over it. That's what we do. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to Isaiah chapter 44. And in Isaiah chapter 44, may I go looking at idolatry. Chapter 4, 44, I should say, picking up down to verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Verse 10, who hath formed a god or a molten graven image that is profitable for nothing? It doesn't pay, doesn't work out. Sliding over in the context, verse 17, it's all about idolatry. And God said, it's foolishness. What you're doing is, there's no God. I'm the only God, he said. And you're trying to make a God. You know there's no other God, Romans 1. So therefore you make gods, idolatry. So what? You don't have to honor God. That's why we're religious and political. So we don't have to honor God. Politics and religion are gone in God's kingdom, as it were. In God's holy heaven, there are no religions and there's no politic. Now, picking up, please, verse 17. And the residue thereof, he maketh a mist, taking a tree, if you read the context, and you do everything, you cook your food, use it for fuel, and you take the tree that you want out of that same tree, and you build an idol. So therefore, verse 17, and the residue thereof, he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipped it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. We bow to the dumb thing, and then we tell it to do something. And that's what's so silly about this. But when you're doing it, it isn't silly. It's very serious. Very serious. Open, if I can, verse 25. I'll read verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens, yea, alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens, the signs, the symbols. Remember Jeremiah 10, they look at the stars, they look at eclipses, they look at all kinds of things and make judgments, say, and they make a prediction about stuff. So I'll read verse 25, that frustrateth the tokens, the signs of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. Do you see the word mad? Mad. We're looking at the little word mad. And it's in reflexive and intensive. So We do this. We don't just do it. We do it with vigor. We do it. That's what we do. We make us mad. Mad. We get mad. Well, what are we talking? What is mad? What is the word mad? It has to do with what? It has to do with movement, rage, frustration, mental activity, very moving about, very active kind of thing. And of the senses, of the mind, of our think to toss about, to be tossed about, to be moved about, to have our thoughts jumping all over the place. That's the idea. To indulge, we indulge our fancies, get all rad. That's the word. Now watch the word as it works us out, as it works out. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, Jeremiah chapter 25. In Jeremiah 25, and you'll notice in chapter 25, as we did and reminded ourselves, Babylon, verse 12, and it came, and it shall come to pass that when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it, I'll make it perpetual desolation. So I'm going to go and judge. And verse 13, and I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. So Babylon's going to be judged. And verse 14, and many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them, all the way down through history. It's the outworking of the image of the man, from the head all the way down to the toes, all the way down. Where were you looking now? Here's the Roman Empire, Caesar, and divided up, and here's the foot, and here's the feet, and here's the 10 toes. Where we already have the feet, we're looking for the 10 toes. That's what heaven, 25, whatever is nations in the European Union, whatever else, all of that's over there, Mediterranean setup and all of that. Out of that's going to come 10 toes, 10 kings, 10 powers. Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to come. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, and God's going to judge them. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. In other words, we want all the nations, all that are around Jerusalem, and Nebuchadnezzar deals with, all of those nations are to be put on notice that God is going to judge Israel by Nebuchadnezzar, and Israel and Nebuchadnezzar is going to judge all you guys because you didn't honor him as I told you to. That's Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold. And I'm going to go, and then I'm going to go and judge each of you. I'm going to judge Babylon, and thus Babylon's going to get judged. The head is going to get judged. Now, having said that, and keeping that in front of me, if you can, I want them to drink. So again, in verse 15, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved. And there's a little word, be mad. They're going to get caught up in whatever they're doing. You say they don't. Listen, I'm going to illustrate in a minute if I can. Picking up, please, in verse 16, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad. Why? Because of the sword that I will send among them. Verse 17, and then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. In other words, everyone's put on notice by God's written word of what's going to happen, and God's going to do it in an awesome, awesome way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, back over to Isaiah. In Isaiah 51, Isaiah 51, if I can, picking up, please, you'll catch it, if I can. Now, God's going to judge, they're going to drink. In other words, what I just tried to say, God is going to judge Israel by Babylon. Babylon is going to be judged by all these nations, by all of them. Each nation will, Media Persia takes Babylon, and you go from the head down to the toes, and then God judges from the toes all the way back up to the head. So the whole man, the image of man. Now, hang on, if I can. So, Isaiah chapter 51, picking up, please. In verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which had drunk of the hand of, remember what, God is going to make everyone drink, as it were, you've got to drink of what I'm going to do. In other words, you're going to have to do what I'm telling, this is what's going to happen to the nation, and you drink it, Jeremiah, get them to understand it's going to happen to you guys. Drink it. All the way down to the dregs, bottom. Now, so therefore, 51 verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. In other words, your whole ball, everything all the way down to the sediment, and then you wring the sediment out to get every drop, every drop. It's all going to be, like I said, said God. Verse 18, there is none to guide her among all the sons whom he has brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought me. In other words, all of the Israelites are useless. None of them, they reject Jeremiah. They rejected him, and they didn't want him. So the good guys are kicked out, and the bad guys are left. The priests, the prophets are left. And they aren't going to go with God. And God said, there's no one among you to help you. There's no one among you that's thinking right, wants to even care to do it right. So therefore, in Isaiah chapter 17, sliding over if I can, picking up in verse 21. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith thy Lord, the Lord and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of the fury, that thou shalt no more drink it again. In other words, I'm going to help you. You're going to drink. Jerusalem's going to get clobbered, but God's going to take care of their future. Verse 23, and I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. That's, in other words, to start with a Jew. Start with a Jew, and you go down the line to the next thing, the Gentiles. So, verse 23, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the sheet, as the street to them that went over. In other words, you're going to be beat up, and you're going to not going to be able to overcome. You're not going to be able to work it out. Tribulation, is going to be the way you're going to get fixed. You're going to have to be fixed. You're going to have to change. Therefore, you have to have tribulation. And you would remember over in Deuteronomy, do that for a minute, way back there, way back before they ever started, before they crossed the Jordan. And they were told what was going to happen anyway, but they weren't going to pay attention to it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and you would recall verse 27, the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you, sliding down for time. Verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, it's going to come, coming up, tribulation. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and he will not forsake you, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. In other words, God's going to keep his word in a most wonderful, wonderful way and do what he has to do in the way that he has to do it. And God's going to do that. So, and God's going to do it, and God's going to be gracious in doing it. Back over to Isaiah 54. And in Isaiah 54, you'll have another little bit of information. Isaiah 54, picking up, if I may, in verse 7. For a small moment, remember what we said, you're going to have to go through tribulation, you're going to have to go through judgment, you're going to have to go through it all, but be of good cheer, be of good cheer. I didn't disappear, said God. I'm watching, I'm taking care of things. Verse 7, 54, verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. It will seem like a long time, but it really won't be. But with great, great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee. For a moment I let Nebuchadnezzar and the world do what he does. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. I'm going to do what I have to do in the way that I have to do it, and it's all going to work out fine. But you have to understand that you're going to be judged, and that's because, like in 1 Samuel 8, you wanted to be like the other nations, and you went like them, and therefore you became like them, and left God out of the picture. So 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now, having doing that, this idolatry, this madness, this movement of madness, hang on, it's going to come up again. The idolatry. What do we call idolatry? When you get into idolatry, what's a word to describe it? Madness. You get into it, and you have to get into it. Madness, tossed about. Your whole mind is caught up in it when you're really into it. Now, illustrate. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus in chapter 32. Picking up, if I may. Chapter 32. And you will note, Moses is a long time up on the mount with God. Aaron and the people are down below. The people are all upset because Moses isn't coming back down so that they could complain and talk to him and use him to try to tell him their problems. But he's up there. So they encourage Aaron to go and make a golden calf. That's what they encourage you, remember, in doing it. Now keep in mind, back in Exodus 19, in Exodus chapter 19, Moses, the people all are told, don't let a donkey even cross that line. Anything that crosses that line at the foot of Mount Sinai, the area, will die. Don't let any of your priests or anything come by. But Moses is up and down. Moses is in there, and Aaron is allowed to go partway, not quite far as Moses, but Aaron is given the privilege to get up on that mountain and be exposed to the fire and to the voice and all that Moses was facing. Now, you would think that experience would stand solid. Moses never left it. Moses never had a thought of anything but honoring God. But Aaron, why would you make a golden calf, Aaron? You don't do that. But he does. What does that tell you? That all can be exposed to the same wonderful God and come out different. Moses has got the message, but Aaron didn't get the message. And Aaron is able to go and say, well, read the Bible, we love everything, but don't count on their stability. But another guy, another girl, will see it and hear it and go right down the line and be faithful. But that doesn't guarantee, because you heard it, you were exposed to it, and you're going to be faithful. Don't count on that with people. You say, well, they've had this experience. Don't count on that. Test them some more. Make the test to see where they really are. Now, so therefore, Exodus chapter 32, verse 4. And what did they do? Now, how do you get people to get caught up in this calf? How do you get people to get into idolatry? How do you get people to get all fired up? You can't get them to do it. Nice, thoughtfully, let's all sit down and think about the subject with a solid, safe mind. Then we're going to think about it and debate it and talk about it, but we're going to be real slow. But if I can get you excited, mad, if I can get you mad, So, Exodus chapter 32, verse 4. And he received them, that is, the gold and everything, the gold to make his golden calf. And he received them at their hands and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy God. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar. Who built the dumb altar? Aaron built the dumb altar. And before it, for the calf. And Aaron made a proclamation. He said, listen, everybody, I've just made a golden calf, and I hope you enjoy my artwork and what I just did. Isn't that a wonderful calf like in Egypt? And made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offering and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play to make sure you got all into it. Now, if you're going to, what a cheerleader supposed to do? In a sport, as cheerleaders are supposed to get you or rile it up, aren't they? What happens if they all sit there and they have no signs in there and the team's out there playing? And then here's 100,000 people thoughtfully thinking about their team and watching the plays and giving an analysis in their mind. And they sit there and they're with the game. They're really with the game. They want to understand it. But you can't have that. So what are we going to do? We've got to get them to cheer and jump and wave and shout and jump up and down and wave banners. That's what the people do out there, riots. So what for? You can't just sit there and thoughtfully, why are we burning cars? You can't do that. That's not going to work. You've got to get us excited. And then we do what we do. Mad. You got to get people into it. That's why we have music. We got everything. Why? You're just so slow. You're dull people. You're dull. You just sit there. You see? You got to get excited. Right? And then we have a worship group and everything to get you excited. For what? What's excitement do? Nothing. It gets you busy, keeps you active, and you get worn out. But you didn't think it through. And worship is the awesome, wonderful movement of your mind, enjoying the awesomeness of God, who's omnipotent and ever-present, and you're humbled. You're humbled in worship, not jumping around. Jumping around means you don't even know. You aren't even conscious of God. You're excited, there's no question. And you're cheering, no exception. Do you understand that's the word mad? And you keep finding it. We're going to look at a couple of other places, just so you see it. Idolatry, to get us into it. We can't do it if you make me think it through. I may not want to believe, but I just am not thinking. I'm not going to think like that. But if you don't want me to think, and you just want to get my mind moving, what you can do with me. We'll run down the street and shoot people. Whatever it takes, we're with it. Now, that's a long way around to tell you the word mad. I'm just trying to illustrate it. It's very common. That's how you get people. You can't get them any other way. That's how you win. They aren't all thinking about everything. When they go burn the cars and everything, when they stone windows and kill people, beat them up, come on. That's not good. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore we have in the light of that. So, that illustration. Over to Isaiah 50. You'll see it. Isaiah chapter 50. Excuse me. Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah and chapter 50. And you may, in chapter 50, picking up if I may. May I go over directly to verse, in the light of Babylon, it's a whole back and forth, remember 50 and 51, it goes from talking about Babylon, judgment, and then it jumps over to Israel, back and forth through chapter 50 and 51. It goes from Babylon's judgment back to Israel, and then there's a few verses of Israel, and then we're back to Babylon's judgment, and God is driving home the nail to try to get you to understand that Babylon is going to be judged and Israel is going to be blessed. So hang in there. So, picking up, if I may, chapter 50 and in verse 38, a drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images. They are mad upon their idols. That's what they're doing. They're caught up in them. You get a philosophy, you get a cause, you get something, we go against whatever it is, and then you get all the people that cheer it and run for it, and you get some people that are really paid in this case, probably, our country, and you get them to steer everybody up, and pretty soon, the people that get into all this stuff, and then they do it. Now, having said that, chapter 50, go over to chapter 51. And in chapter 51, and you'll pick up again, going back and forth, Israel and Babylon. Chapter 51, going, if I can, directly to verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup. Remember? Babylon is going to be the cup, a cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth, drunken. Keep going. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations, what happens to the drinking? When you get drunk, how you get drunk? You get drunk. And you're mad. You get caught up in your mind. And you can, who knows? That's what it is. Drunk. Idols. Madness. That's what you do. Wow. Now, having said that, that's what God says it. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. So you know the image of man, as we shared, and all of that's going to happen. So we went from Babylon, the head of gold, all the way down to the Antichrist, if he can. Now, just to see that, just to see it for a second, over if I can to Revelation and chapter 17. Well, no, before I do that, Revelation and chapter 9. What's going on in the world in the tribulation? A lot's going on, and it's not good. And God's judgment is very clear. What are we doing in the light of God's judgment? Are we repenting, getting sober, and saying, God, help us? Or what are we going to do? We're going to cheer and everyone get mad. Everyone get all riled up. We're going to get God. God isn't going to move us. We aren't going to change what we think. We're going to keep on thinking what we do, and we're going to get hotter and try to stop whatever's going on in the government or whatever else, whatever we do. So, Revelation chapter 9, picking up, please, in the light of awesome judgment to the people. But having said that, picking up that judgment, and picking up, please, at least a little context, verse 18, 9 and 18, chapter 9, verse 18. By these three, was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. And their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and their heads with them they do hurt, and with their head, and with them they do hurt their heads, the heads. Verse 20. And when the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not, N-O-T, of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. Don't stop the idolatry, but they aren't going to stop the idolatry. They're going to stay mad. And idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, all kinds of idols. We made them, we create them, and we're going to stand and represent them, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, not of their sorceries, that's drugs, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They aren't changing a thing. You would think they change. No, they're mad. They're mad. They're caught up in idolatry, and they're caught up. They aren't going to sit and afterwards they'll have to think. But it's too late afterwards. So, and thus over chapter 17, as you know. And look at it, how wonderful that is in helping us. In chapter 17, picking up, please, in verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. That's religious. That's the religious system, the ecumen of the World Council of Churches and all of that. That's where it's headed. and with whom? The kings of the earth have committed fornication, all the governments, and fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. The religion uses the politic. Politics. Politics need religion. Religion needs politics to get where it's going. So, and he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. I'm going to skip down. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, the Mother of Madness, Great Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. She's the one. And she's going to do what? Verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Verse 7. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast and that carried her, which had the seven heads and ten horns. But now, having said all that, keeping that in mind, chapter 18, the politics, 17, the religion, 18, the politics, verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich, wax rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Sliding down to verse 9, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, she shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. In other words, Babylon's going to be judged. That's when it's really judged. That's when you can put chapter 51 and 52. That's why you got to have this part to go back to the head, and chapter 50 and 51 of Jeremiah. Now, having said that little bit, mad, beginning a little bit, idolatry. How do we explain it? Madness, foolishness. You'll blow your mind away to become a fool and make a god that you yourself made and worship it. We make all the religious lists, all the books you read about philosophy, religion, all the governments, you can do them, and you can do all of those things. And when you're done, you have to end up what? You're back to what? Man in China, all the different places in the world. Man is running the countries. Humans are, understandably. We worship the systems. Where do the systems come from? We made them. We made our churches. We did. God did make them. We took God's Bible and made what we wanted to do with it, how we wanted to understand it. That's what we did. It's ours. And we like it. Why don't you give it up for His New Testament church? Oh, no. No, sir. Not going to do that. Nope. Now, having said that, in the minute you got left, now, are you getting any idea? It's sobering. The image of man. It's all about us, humans, proudly saying, listen, God, we're pretty good. We don't need you. We don't need you, God, like Laodicea, Revelation 3. Now, an application of madness. Over to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And let me do through it quickly. You get the idea. Here's Psalm 46. And I'm going to start. Now, here's Hezekiah and all those different things. Now, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Now, we're in the world system. The world system's caught up in idolatry. The world system's in trouble. And it isn't repenting, Revelation chapter 9. It isn't fixing anything. It's just going to get stuck and keep going the way it's going. So, chapter 46, verse 2. Therefore, will not we fear, because there's trouble. What kind of trouble, God? Are we going to? How do we face the world? Put on the whole armor of God. Therefore, will not we fear? We fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, if you thought of anything that could happen, now you say, boy, we could have a windstorm too. God said, listen, let's really put it out there for you. I'm going to open up, making the whole earth swallow everything up. That, you want trouble? I'm going to show you what trouble could be. I'm going to go and open the earth up. And, verse 2, in the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, great earthquakes, etc. Though the waters thereof roar, and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now that's pretty awful, awesome circumstances. On earth, man, there's no way. That's if you want to be afraid. God, if you want to see something awesome happening all over the world, the television showing everything going on. Wow. Now, having said that, God, that's right. The world's caught up in idolatry, madness. It's the time of the Gentiles. It's their time. Not your time. It's their time. Heading into the tribulation. Therefore, if I can, verse 4, there is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Everything else is moving. God isn't moving. God shall help her, and that right early. Now, back over to the trouble. Here's the mountain, here's the earth. What happens about the nations? The heathen raged. Do you see the word roar up in verse 3? And now you've got it down in verse 6. Raged, roar, raged. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So God said, listen, when the heathen do what they do, the world may do it. The nations are going to do it. Idolatry is going to happen and is happening. It's all over the world, idolatry. It's idolatrous world. But don't worry. God said, I'm not moved, and you aren't moved. You aren't moved. You're trusting me? Don't worry about it. I'm an ever-present help. Now, but, picking up quickly, in a minute, verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord, that what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease, and the end of the earth. He healeth, bendeth the bow, breaketh the bow, breaketh the bow, and cut the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Now, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. And the word be still is reflexive. It means you do it. You do something with intensity. Not just do it. Do it with intensity. You do it. You put on your own shoes, reflexive. You be still. Cease. Stop. Shut up. Quiet. Quiet, he said. Quiet. The way the world's broken up, the earth is breaking up, the heathen, the nations are all over the place. What do we do? Shh. Cease. Be quiet. That's what I want you to do. Cease. And thus, in the process, ought to cease, to stop. So, and by the way, it's a command. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. In the process, to be slack, ease off, submit, yield, submit yourself from awe, A-W-E. Submit yourself to God and be quiet in his awesome presence. Be quiet and know that I am God and exalted among the heathen, the nations, even though all of their idolatry is there. I will be exalted in the earth. I'm in charge. They all are what? They're mad. The whole system in Armageddon is mad. They're going to bring all the nations together to go against God at Armageddon. Revelation 16. What a dumb thing to do. And like Psalm 2, God looks down and says, and that's one of those places where it says, he laughs. He said, what a funny thing. They're all down there shaking everything against me. And they're all mad. How could they be that crazy? But they are, to go against me like that. That's what they're doing. Now, so therefore, be still and know that I am God. And we did, keeping that in mind, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our refuge indeed, Shalom. Now, having said that little bit, three things, and they all have taking this little verb, to be still, let go, back off, quiet. But I'll give you the three thoughts out of it. Don't, A, in closing, God says, be still. Don't, you don't need to help me, said God. Please don't help me. We're going to help you, God. We're going to help you get it done. We're going to help you work it out. God says, please, don't help me. Don't help me. I may use you, but don't help me. Don't help me. Second, don't fear. Don't fear God's will. God's will, what's he going to have? The earth's opened up, the heathen, the nations, idolatry, the way they think about God, the way they think about church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the will of God. And in the process, and don't be afraid. He may not help you, but he's not going to fail. His failure, don't be afraid. God is telling you to, I'm on top of the problem. And when it seems like I'm not fixing anything, be quiet. Because I am. I always am. So be quiet. And don't be afraid. But you aren't doing it fast enough. God said, who said I'm not doing it fast enough? Do you know what's involved? 1,000,000,000 pieces, and I'm sticking them all together, and it takes the right amount of time at the right place at the right time. Therefore, come Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find God's wonderful mercy and God's wonderful grace in a time of need. God said, please, don't get impatient. Don't get impatient. Just be quiet. Yay! No, be quiet. Be quiet. in quietness and confidence, Isaiah 30, 15. You'll be in quietness and confidence. In returning in rest, shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You can't ask for something easier than that. God said, just help me, let me be God. Is that all right? Let me be God. Be still.